The Bush administration has repeatedly said it hopes the fall of Saddam Hussein in Iraq will foster the spread of democracy throughout the Middle East. But in some neighboring countries, the status quo has served America very well. And nowhere better, writes author Robert Baer, than in the decidedly undemocratic kingdom of Saudi Arabia. In an article in the current Atlantic Monthly magazine, Baer argues that the Saudi royal family helps protect itself from internal challenges by funding armed fundamentalist movements abroad. Baer writes that this policy will ultimately lead to the fall of the House of Saud, the dynasty which built the oil-rich kingdom. The critical question is when, not if, that will happen, and the consequences for America will dwarf earlier problems in the region. Bob Baer joins us now in our Washington studios. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go inside the House of Saud a little bit, as your article does, and talk about who's there and what's happened. I mean, why is it so much different today than it was, say, 10 years ago? This has been an absolute monarchy since the inception of the kingdom.
Well, I think the problem is that Saudi Arabia is broke. The corruption is rampant. It's grotesque, the amount of money being siphoned off from oil revenues, and you have divisions in the family.
Let's talk about some of the cast of characters. King Fahd, the head of the family, had a near-fatal stroke in 1995, I believe.
1995, yes.
And since then, you mentioned the power struggle. One of his sons has tried to take control, and he's apparently the king's good luck charm and very corrupt.
The king, a long time ago, and I don't know exactly when this occurred, but his fortune teller, Fatima, told him that he would die if he were separated from his youngest son, Abdulaziz bin Fahd, and an Iraqi would assassinate him, and it would occur inside Riyadh. So, you know, whether this is true or not, he's living under this bubble of superstition. And you add that, you add the problem of this stroke he's had, which has incapacitated him. I mean, he slips in and out of consciousness. And you have nobody in control of the country. Crown Prince Abdullah should have taken over by now, but they're not going to let him, the other senior princes, because they don't trust him, they don't like him.
So because he's the reformist.
He's a reformist. He wants to cut back on the perks for the royal family. He wants to cut back on military spending, which is an enormous amount of money is disappearing into crooked contracts. And Crown Prince Abdullah would like to get a hold of this, but as long as King Fahd is alive, there's nothing he can do.
How are the Saudi monarchy may look to American politicians and corporations, which have always had an incredibly close relationship with it? I think the trade between the two countries is something in the neighborhood of, is it $70 billion?
It's a cash cow for the United States. The Saudis have always been there in this strategic relationship when we needed money, whether it was for Iran-Contra, whether it was for Afghanistan, whether it was to fund the first Gulf War. Our air base is there, and also for contracts, defense contracts. When things were slow in the United States, we could count on the Saudis to pick up the slack.
But how does the royal family look to Saudi Arabian citizens?
Well, inside, it's looked as a criminal enterprise. There's no property rights. We have watched and done nothing as the Saudi royal family has destroyed the Saudi middle class, which, of course, is the real potential for democracy and progress.
What do you think the consequences of that might be? We are talking about promoting democracy in the region, and certainly there are people who say that democracy contagion would be a good thing for Saudi Arabia.
Well, I'm off message on that completely. I think that if you had elections today, and there have been polls, I don't know the credibility of these polls, I'm not quite certain, but if you had election today, bin Laden would be elected president or another fundamentalist.
And why is that?
You've got this huge disparity in income. There's a desperation. You have people without running water, without health care, and that are mad at the West, and they've been educated in this fundamentalist system, the mosques, and then even universities are devoted to religion, which calls for jihad. And that's been the system. There are no engineers. Manual labor is done by expatriates from Pakistan, Bangladesh come in. And you just have a really rotten system there.
How has the Saudi government used a system of protecting itself by funding jihadi groups, fundamentalist groups, armed struggle groups, to export dissent outside the country, thereby protecting itself, the Taliban being an example.
Well, it's worse than the Taliban. Look at the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, and this is really the group that oversaw September 11th, was all based inside Saudi Arabia. They were run out of Syria in the 70s and 80s. They headed to Saudi Arabia. They headed to Germany. These are the people who set up the cells. And the deal was, the royal family said, listen, we will protect Islam as a religion, as the militant faction of Islam, if you don't ask too many questions about what we do in Europe, about how we go to the casinos and involved in prostitution and our huge palaces. It was a deal with the devil.
And so far it's worked, because there hasn't been any attempt to topple the monarchy.
It's worked for them, not us, of course, because their first reaction on September 11th is, you know, thank God it didn't happen to us. It could have been us. It's worked for them very well, except 3,000 Americans are dead.
Well, Robert Baer, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Robert Baer is the author of See No Evil, and his forthcoming book on Saudi Arabia, Sleeping with the Devil, will come out in July.